I'm Wes Shank, the host of the Missouri Wind and Solar Podcast, coming to you from our store in Seymour, Missouri. We hope you'll enjoy our discussions on renewable energy and the products that make that possible. Thank you for downloading our podcast, and we hope you'll subscribe. So this morning we've got David McDerris with us. David's the general manager here at Missouri Wind and Solar. And our topic today is pond aeration, but before we kind of jump into that, wanted to just kind of introduce David and let him kind of tell us his background. He's only one day older than dirt, where I'm like 2 days older than dirt. And let him go through that. He's in here just, he's trying to hold back, busting a gut, laughing at my jokes with him here. But I'll let him talk. Lucy's in here with us again today. And we've got trains going by. We've got people coming in the store. You can hear the doorbell ringing. I think Lucy's in her crate. I think she's mad at me this morning, so maybe we won't have her barking at us. But David, give us a little background kind of your resume, if you will, for the renewable energy and where you've been.
Yeah, so I've been in the building material industry. Before I came to Missouri Wind and Solar, I was in the building material industry as a salesman, manager, general manager for over 20 years with Sutherland Lumber, based out of Kansas City, Missouri. I worked all over the state of Missouri. I did anything from selling furniture to lawn and garden products to electrical products. Anything to do with the improvement of the home, we sold it. Even at the end, we got into hunting supplies, pretty large. That's kind of my background. I came to Missouri Wind and Solar over a year ago. I started under the owner at the time, Jeff, and it was something that really intrigued me at the time when I got into it. It's been a great experience. It's a great company. We have a lot of products.
So Sutherland did they have any of the?
They had the electrical side, but they didn't have the renewable energy side. We didn't have the wind turbines, the solar panels.
Right. Why they don't?
It's a newer concept. They felt a little branching out to them sometimes was a little hard. They were a family owned business as well, so they kind of conservative in their views of.
So they think we're nuts.
Do they? I don't think we're nuts, but. It takes you got to get a lot of people's heads to turn before you can get them to try something,
which is interesting because to me it's amazing that we're not in more places like that. I mean,
that's exactly right. Some of the bigger box stores are starting to come into it, that they're seeing. When you get California, state of California, who's now 40% solar powered, I mean, that is a huge number. That should just wake the nation up and tell you how it's proceeding. Solar is the cheapest form of renewable energy and new infrastructure.
It's the cheapest form. There's nothing to it either.
What are you damaging? Nothing. I mean, to use this to harness the power of the sun is something that for eons we've tried to do. So
I mean, that it just blows my mind. The one that blows my mind is that is like I go into Tractor Supply and it just seems like the most natural one ever would be just stuff like livestock tanks and that sort
right.
of thing. I mean, you got this water tank out in the middle of a field and in the colder climates,
right?
How do you keep that thing from freezing over?
That's just they've tried everything, from the push down ball, where the cattle or horses have to push this big ball down, and the ball will raise back up in the deal and not, you know, not let it freeze. And these things are expensive. They don't work well. I mean, you know, in the cold, the real cold climates, they don't work well, you know. And
what ours is, you can hook up a solar panel. And
yeah, you hook a solar panel up to a heating element.
And what's our, and I know we're here to talk about pond aeration today, yeah. And I'm taking us off on
But people just don't understand, you know, what solar is capable of. And Alex talked about that a little bit yesterday. You know, its capabilities are endless. I mean, you know, you can power whatever you just choose to power with it, you know. And that's one thing.
Our solar panel to run one of our heating elements, that configuration would cost what?
Oh, you can get away with that. I mean, depending on just the size of tank that you want to heat or try to keep, you know, you can get away from that with, you know, just a couple hundred dollars.
So I was thinking, I mean,
something so simple,
the heating elements, like,
right,
dirt cheap.
They're like $25.
$25,
and then you can get the panel for, you know, anywhere from
a 100 watt panel.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 100 watt panel is going to keep the ice off that top layer, you know, and then that's what you're doing, you know.
And that's all you need.
You know, they don't need to be drinking 100 degree water, you know. They just, they just
a little tea.
That's right. They just need something that's drinkable, not licking on ice, you know. So,
well, so I'm sorry again. I'm a threat whenever
you're
talking.
You're fine.
Like, let's go down this rabbit hole. So I can tell you guys this. I've worked with David here for the past year. If you need some help, call in and talk with David. I mean, David he's our general manager. You know, we've had Alex on the program. These guys are great. I mean, they know their stuff, and just the whole shooting match. I mean, they can talk with you about how to put a system together and really help you soup to nuts. And one of the great things again with David is his background in the construction industry overall. It was a real natural move to have him come over and manage Missouri Wind and Solar, just with his background. It's been a real positive thing for us here at the store. So, but we want to talk about pond aeration today. This has been the little engine that could for us here. I mean, this has been it's been a weird little sort of, hey.
Well, you know, pond aeration to a lot of people, you know, there are, you know, look across the country and look on every small farm, there's a little pond, you know, for cattle use, for livestock use, you know, for watering use of livestock, recreation, maybe for swimming, maybe for fishing, you know, and maybe it's just a pond that's out on the farm and it really has no use, but nobody likes to see a junky pond. They don't like to see algae covered ponds, and you know, they don't want their cattle drinking from an algae covered pond, and they don't want, you know, that's just something that they don't want to happen. And so especially in the recreation part, you know, everybody wants to see a clear pond.
Yeah,
so there was huge amounts of money being spent on chemicals,
right,
dyes,
right.
You know, when it was looked at, and this has been used for years in water treatment facilities, was aeration. The aeration is used to promote good bacteria growth. And that good bacteria growth then will eat up all the what we call the sludge, the leaves, the muck that it forms in a pond, because that is releasing an ammonia and a nitrogen gas, which then causes the oxygen in the water to deplete. It depletes the oxygen in the water. And if you have a fish...
It's the same idea with the fish tank.
That's right.
That's why you put
that's exactly correct.
It's why you put a bubbler or whatever they call it.
That's why you put a bubbler in it. Because if you don't, then there'd be... So every body of water, just like you just said, the fish tank, every body of water has this problem. The bigger the body of the water, the easier it is for nature to overcome itself. The smaller the body of water, the harder it is. You know, like a fish tank, you go 3 days in a fish tank without a bubbler, you could probably have a fish almost floating. You know, I mean, they're dead. The water overturns, and one reason it overturns is what happens is the nitrogen gas and the ammonia starts to release. It produces a what they call a thermocline up in the
right
in the pond, and that kind of is a lock, and that's trapped. That traps all the cold water, traps the ammonia and nitrogen in it, and now the pond up at a certain level, let's just say you have an 8-foot pond, at a 6-foot level, it will trap all that, and there's no oxygen in that level. So now the fish, if it's a recreational pond, a fishing pond, they have to live in the top 2 foot of the water just to have oxygen. Well, over time, that oxygen just keeps depleting, and that keeps growing up. And then what happens is what they call overturning of the pond. It will, at certain times of year, that cold water will become warmer than the top water, and it flips. Well, then the fish cannot go to that depth that quickly, and they'll wind up perishing from it.
Well, I remember 100 years ago, I think it was in my Boy Scout manual, and it just talked about the life cycle of a pond.
Right.
And if you just leave it alone, it's eventually going to fill up with this organic matter and that
it
sort
does.
Of thing, and it's going to go away.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we've got in our ride up here, and I think I've mentioned on previous podcasts, you know, we live in Georgia part-time. We passed 1,000 ponds on the way coming up here, and you just see so many of them sitting stagnant.
Right.
And you can see a progression almost week by week.
Yeah.
Of algae and all that encroaching.
Right.
And you're just like, man, if we could stick one of our aeration units out there,
you know,
you could save that pond.
You know, you just talked about something that, you know, we just talked about algae. You know, algae in nature, everybody classifies it and thinks of algae as a plant life, when actually algae is a bacteria, so it is classified in the animal kingdom when you really classify it. And so when algae forms because it feeds off of nitrogen and ammonia. So algae is created because of not enough oxygen in a pond. So what algae does is it forms because there's too much nitrogen and oxygen, and so it forms and starts through the process of photosynthesis releasing oxygen. It feeds off of nitrogen and ammonia, and it starts releasing dissolved oxygen back into the pond. So algae is actually trying to work and repair the ecosystem of the pond, but the problem is people will start treating it.
Okay.
And they'll start treating it as a plant, and they will start killing it. Well, the cycle then begins to get worse and worse, because all they're doing now is putting more muck, more decay in the pond, and so more algae tries to bloom to offset that.
Well, and so, you know, a lot of people, and I would venture to say probably most of the people who are our client base and probably our podcast base, I mean, that's not their
right.
deal anyway.
Yeah.
It's trying to treat with chemicals and that sort of thing.
Right.
Like you're saying, I mean, trying to treat
you know,
a pond.
And
you wouldn't go dump bleach in your fish tank
no,
either.
No, and you wouldn't want to treat with chemicals. Treating with chemicals, it's just not effective if you're trying to remove algae growth, because
the cost on it too,
and it's costly.
It just
starts the cycle over and over. You will never ever achieve the end result that you're looking for by treating with chemicals ever.
So let's talk about that. So what are some of the different ways that we can get our
you know
aeration
so
to our
so aeration to ponds can come in a few different ways. Some good ponds, when somebody says, well, I have a pond and it's got a spring coming into it, and I don't see algae anywhere around the spring because it has aeration on that end. So natural sources can bring aeration into the pond.
Okay.
Being as it's a spring.
So a spring?
That type of stuff can bring aeration into a pond. Most people's ponds are what we call land, waterlocked. They're their own water source. There's nothing to feed that pond besides runoff rainfall, which brings in the more muck, the more...
Yeah,
you know, anytime, you know,
anything from the field that
right.
you got, any
you
chemicals,
know,
anything like that.
Any of that stuff
too.
Brings into the pond. So so most aeration in the pond is going to be mechanical. There's a few different mechanical ways. You have a windmill that's going to have a blade into the pond, and it's going to churn. That's very ineffective. That is not a bad way if all your goal is with aeration is to keep the livestock a hole open in the eyes for livestock. That's a somewhat effective way for that. Second way is a compressor based system, which we use, that's going to set beside the pond, go out through weighted hoses and off to air diffusers and into the bottom of the pond, and it'll put a water column of dissolved oxygen up through the pond. So what that will do is it moves the oxygen as it's moving. It moves the water. It takes that cooler water from the bottom, brings it to the top. It ripples effects out to the edge of the pond and then comes back around. So if you can kind of think about it like creating a fountain, mm-hmm. it just kind of creates a loop. And so now it mixes the pond. So now there's no thermocline. The pond is the same temperature from the top to the bottom. And that is really where you're, and that's where you really get to benefit from, because now you're moving that cool water out. You're moving that ammonia and all that nasty from the bottom. You're pushing it out through the top instead of it needing to feed on something to feed on that. It's pushing it out the top, releasing it out the top. So now we have that, if you have a pond that has a foul odor or you're seeing the algae, that's what's causing it, is ammonia and nitrogen. If you've ever smelled ammonia and nitrogen, which I know you have, they've got a real musky, nasty scent to your nose. Yeah, it's not pleasant to smell.
Something you want
to
dab
into your ears. So that's what, you know, that's what we're trying to release out of that pond and get that oxygen in that pond. By doing that, you can really improve this, the ecosystem of the pond. And while improving the ecosystem, what it does is it feeds that microbacteria, which then feeds small little organisms, which then are fed off by the bigger fish, which then are fed by. So now I can increase my my fish population, and not be worried that if I add more fish to the pond, what will happen to it? I have the food source in there. My fish will be larger. They'll be stronger, healthier. I'll gain weight to fish. So if that's something I'm really into, say you get a guy that owns a catfish farm, for instance, you know, he can put, summertime they have a hard time because those fish want to stay at the bottom. If there's no oxygen there, catfish don't do well there. They don't get, you can't bite, they can't get the bites they need, so
a person. And there's only going to be so much room,
right,
too.
And there's only so much room, so they start having fish kill. Guy's going out there and he's paying $10 to go fish in the pond to go catch a fish, and he can't catch a fish, he's not coming back, you know. So, you know, not only is it beneficial for the fish, if you're in that industry, it's beneficial to you as a retailer of, you know. So it's definitely a
Now, and then even in your colder climates, can you run it year round?
Yes, aeration should typically really be ran 24/7, 365 days a year. For it to be the most effective you can be, that's what it should be run. That's a big commitment. I mean, to do that, either you have to have some type of electrical source. Well, we're in the business of selling.
What a coincidence. We probably got something that can work with
solar and wind energy. So, you know, so if you have a rural pond that's, let's just say that you have 400 acres and it's over on the other side of the farm from you, there's a good chance that you don't want to run electrical from your house.
And the co-op doesn't want to run it either.
Over to the and the cost is just staggering. So there's a couple ways you can do it. We have what we call our SunTac unit.
Yeah, I'm going to have Wyatt come
which
and talk
Wyatt
with us
is going
about
to talk
that.
To us, it's a great unit. It was developed and designed right here at Missouri Wind and Solar.
Now, don't give my podcast
but
away,
yeah, man. I mean, so, man, just when he gets ready to do this, it's a phenomenal deal. So that's what our SunTac unit is, what is our bread and butter in our pond aeration system. Without it, we can work without it, but you have to be at a battery-based system. So if you want to be that 24/7, 365, you have to think, I've got to be a battery-based system. I have to have something that can run me after the sun goes down. If you decide you don't want a battery-based system, maybe you just don't want to have to deal with the batteries, you don't want to, if you can get six to eight hours of aeration in a pond a day, it will take a longer period of time, but you will come out with the same result. You will finally get to that aeration when that pond is, because when the pond finally gets the air it needs in it, so long as we're every day adding some more air to that, it will then achieve what your goal. It'll be a cleaner, healthier, just all around better pond. The ecosystem in the pond will be
now
better.
What about what about if we had in those colder climates, I mean, if they just ran them during the day?
Yeah, if you run them during the day, there again, you don't have to worry about any kind of freeze on it.
Okay,
you know, a lot of people think, well, you know, well, it's going to freeze up. Well, the deal is we're going to the bottom of the pond.
And
unless you're freezing deep from the top to the bottom, if the pond's that small, unfortunately, you need to get a hot water heating element too and try to, you know. Now, if it's that small, you're probably not going to get what you want out of it. But for the most part, you know, we're going to be down in that open water still.
Yeah.
And so as that water column starts up, you know, it's like anything else. If you have ice and you start moving it around and start moving a warmer water on it, you'll melt the ice. And so that's what this will do. We've sold these to duck clubs, you know, that like duck hunting. They'll set these off.
Yeah, I
in their
imagine
blind.
That's a real
and you'll
attractant.
So, yeah, so a guy that has to go out at 3 a.m. in the morning and go out with his chopping axe and go try to chop a hole in the ice and stick his decoys in this little bitty hole, he can think, I'm gonna have it just by simple aeration. You know, he can go up. Maybe he wants a battery-based system. I'm going to go up for a weekend. He goes and up and hooks the batteries up. Now he has total, you know, and it's really so. There's many, many uses in it. Livestock is another use for it.
Right.
You know, I grew up in Southwest Missouri, and I grew up on a farm. And you know, 10 degrees. Dad gave me a chopping axe and said, "Get to it." You know, and so
build that character.
That's right. So I traced off through the hills and the hollers and took my chopping axe and went to every pond that we had that had cattle in it, and I'd chop a hole, and the next morning I would get right back up. He'd hand me a chopping axe and go get at it, you know, and I would go do the same thing repeatedly. Would be pretty nice if Dad would have invested in a solar system that would have opened that pond up, and now that would have left time also for other things to be done on the farm besides just having to try to get water to your animals.
It's interesting. So, yeah, I didn't think about it like that.
Yeah,
that is
so it's definitely, you know.
So how much aeration is needed in a pond?
Well,
what are we looking
you know,
at?
We that's a loaded question that you just asked, and so what we tell you is every pond is different, and so you're going to have to call it. You're going to have to call us. We'll talk about your pond, talk about the depth of the pond, the overall surface area of the pond. And then once we figure that out, we'll design a system for that. But here's the thing that you need to remember. If you have zero aeration in the pond at the time, anything is better than you had.
Yeah, good point.
You know, so I don't care if you have a 2-acre pond or if you have a third of an acre pond. It doesn't matter. If you put in our smallest system, our little, we have numerous ones on the website, but if you put in that little $499 system, that has the 40-liter pump that's designed for a third acre, you know, it's going to be more than you had, you know. So it would take a lot longer period of time if you're in a big pond, but it would still give you something that you didn't have before, you know. And there again, it's still going to do the same. It just may take years before it could really, you know, see the good effect off of it that you'd want to, you know. So.
One of the things, you know, we're kind of getting close to our time. We're trying to keep these at a good time schedule. But one of the things that struck me about this when we've been talking about this and that life cycle of a pond, and like I said, the ponds that I've seen as we've been driving along, commuting between the Missouri and Georgia, that I think some people lose track of. When they're letting these ponds get in that state, is, you know, we talked about aesthetics and you know, the value of of, you know, for livestock and that kind of thing. I think people are losing their mind if they are not taking care of these ponds just from a property value standpoint too.
Yeah.
You know, a piece of property with a pond on it, you know, people are going to pay a lot of money to have that type of property. And if you've, you know, you had a property that can hold a pond, like I've got a piece of property here in Missouri where they tried to build a pond and they broke the
hard
clay
pan.
Yeah. And, you know, now I can't have a pond there. And you think about the thousands of dollars that were spent trying to do that. And then you got people who've got these ponds that are just letting them, basically, they're basically letting them die,
right,
is what it is.
They,
I mean, it's just, it's a slow death.
Yeah.
And, you know, now that property's going to lose value.
Yes.
When they could put a, and what'd you say, we have a $500
system. Yeah, we have a $500 system.
That could at least postpone that.
Yeah.
You know, it seems a pretty small investment.
Yeah.
Well, compared to what you got in that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Go pay for, go to a excavating company and ask them how much it would be to build a pond.
You know, that's a great one, because I actually just got a bid to build a pond at my facility. A small pond, you know. It's $3,000. You know, by the time he gets the earth moved to where it needs to be, you know, and it's not a bad location. It's just, you know, it's a lot of dirt moving to build a pond and to build it right. It's a lot of dirt moving.
Was that to put the water in it, and then was that to stock it?
Oh no, that's just to get the bank built exactly. On the one end. You know,
yeah.
I mean, this is in the middle of a draw. You know, he's only had to build up the one end, and that's still $3,000 to do it. Now, if I go put fish in it, you know, so if anybody has invested fish and time into the pond, you know, this is just a very minute cost in it, you know, and no matter what your stance are, you know, on hunting or fishing, you know, everybody likes to see nice clear water, you know, doesn't matter, you know, but you know, a lot of our people love, I mean, fishing is one of the number one recreational sports in the United States, you know, so it, you know, for grandkids, you know, you know, so why not, you know, we can't take it with us when we go, so you know, if you can spend a couple hundred dollars and make something nice that you're proud to show off, I mean, why not do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just good husbandry. I mean, you take care of your house, you take care of your
take care of your land,
take care of your car.
That's right.
Your car. I mean, this is taking care of your pond. And
that's
it,
right.
And if you don't take care of it, you know,
and
the thing is you don't get ahead of this too.
Yeah. Yeah, because you said that right, because you know, you're saying you're driving back and forth. You got to realize, just like I said, I'm going to have a pond built. If it's not a natural made lake, it wants to fill back in. It will want to go back to the original form that it.
Well, because something caused that lake to be built to begin with.
That's right,
and that's probably something that's aerating naturally.
That's exactly correct, and that's why you don't see that. But in a man-made lake, you'll see it all the time. You know, I came from the city of Hartville, Missouri. And when I was a kid,
woo-hoo,
we had, yeah.
Check your maps on,
check
try to Google that.
Check your maps and get out the magnifying glass. So there was a little lake there called Lake Cassiter when I was a boy, and it had a lot of fish. But it just kept getting shallower and shallower to the point that you could wade anywhere in the lake and not go over your head, you know, and so they had, and it was dammed up from an old mill, so they had to release the dam, let all the water out of the lake, and then they had to dredge this entire lake out, you know, and so, and now they've got it sealed back, and they've made it again, you know, but over time, we know what's going to happen to it. It doesn't want to be a lake. It wants to be a flat piece of ground, and that's what it tries to do, you know, so. So like you said, I mean, you've got to take care of that. And to do that, you know, a lot of that's filling in is just the muck. It's the decomposing, you know, it's the leaves, it's the branches that get in the, and that decomposes, that turns back into earth. And so the lake level drops because the ground comes up to meet the top of the water, you know. So that's just something something that a person really needs if they like having a pond on their facility, be there again for cattle use, for livestock use, you know, or just for recreation, just for simple, I want to go out and hear the frogs chirp at night around the pond, you know. You know, you have to take care of it, or it won't be there, you know.
So. Okay. Well, David, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today. For our listeners out there, if you need to order some pond aeration, give David or give any of our great salespeople here at Missouri Wind a call. They'll help you put together a system. If you just need some education on it, we'll be glad to talk with you about that too. Always check us out on YouTube. We've got some great videos out there. We've got a ton of education you can pick up from our website, from our YouTube channel. Our salespeople, that's one of the big things that we've always been about at Missouri Wind, is getting a lot of education out there. But we also would love you to buy products from us too. That's what keeps us going.
That's right.
So buy some stuff from us, get some friends to buy some stuff from us, and we'll keep bringing more stuff to you and keep bringing podcasts and videos to you. So thanks again for listening in to us today, and if you haven't already, subscribe to our podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Thanks a lot, David. Thanks again, and look forward to talking with you again on our podcast. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Wes.